Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by the Independent FM Los Angeles. You can tune in to Indy at theindependent.fm online, and you can also find us on Facebook in order to get an idea of who is on when. You can find me, Mo, on the Independent FM Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific time, and Fridays from 1 to 3 as well. We spin all kinds of indie and alternative music, and it's a really good time, so check out the Independent FM. Today we are joined by proud Houstonian Brad Moore, owner of several places, including Johnny's Gold Brick, Moving Sidewalk, Okra Charity Lounge, The Lay Low, and Little Danny Speedo's Go Fly Kite Lounge, all located in fabulous Houston, Texas. So sit with us at the bar and have a good time, lower those expectations, and get a little laugh while we talk about music and booze.
All right, so we'll start. Music and booze, you are, tell the world who you are. I already know, but they don't.
First name Brad, last name Moore, proud Houstonian from the deep south, from South Carolina.
From the deep south, and now, what would you consider Texas?
Oh my goodness, I recently had this extraordinarily long conversation about what is the deep south. It's like, you know, is North Carolina the deep south, or is the deep south just South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida is not, consider Florida not the Deep South, because, I don't know, I mean, it's the penis of America, but somehow, I'm going to steal lots of lines from 30 Rock, so everyone, be prepared.
I'm a huge Donald Glover fan, so I know he was behind the scenes, but I'm totally cool with that.
What's that?
Donald Glover was one of the writers for them, and love him.
I really
love him. But I mean, I love 30 Rock anyway, so continue. What is the Deep South, and how is Texas not part of it?
And I will brag, but Texas is Texas, and
it's its own state.
It's its own entire situation. I was in Weehawken, New Jersey,
and I had a friend from there. New Jersey is the smallest state, but I know so many people from there. It's like everyone was born there and then they migrated out. I feel like it's like India
no
or something.
Still lives
it's
there.
Like millions of people come from there and then they all leave. And
I met someone from Trenton, New Jersey, 2 days ago, and I was like, "Oh man, how's Trenton?" And he was like, "Oh no, it's the worst. it's terrible."
So what is Texas?
So anyway, let me get the Weehawken thing out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I was in Weehawken, and they're like, "Oh, you're from Texas?" Like, man, so what's up with the whole people who are from Texas? They're just all about Texas. There's just so much Texas. And I looked him straight in the eye. I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh my God, you're one of them. And I was like, yes. Yes, I am.
How long have you lived
in
Texas?
Almost 30 years.
30 years in
30.
Texas?
30, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
So you can still consider yourself a member of the Deep South?
Certainly I do. Because, I'm a South Carolina.
South Carolina bar always.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Well, Camilla says, you're a Houstonian, but you're not a Texan, because I wasn't born there.
Because you weren't born there. Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Houstonian.
Houston for 30 years.
Yes. So. And Houston is a wonderful place to be able to travel from. I lived in Houston for 30 years, but I feel like I know a bunch of American cities, particularly New Orleans. But anyway, I don't feel like I've been locked into Houston so much.
You travel a lot, yeah. But Houston is your home base. And it stays, and you want it to be your home base.
Yeah, oh yeah, choose Houston. And
so
it's
that
super underrated.
Yeah.
Which has always been great. It's been so good. Houston's actually grown with me because, like, when I was, you know, in my 20s and just broke living in punk rock houses, we didn't want anyone to live near us because, you know, it's like, hate us, please, stay in the suburbs. And now that we're business people,
it's great.
It's like, come on in and spend money.
Well, to that end, how many businesses are you involved in? Because I don't know, can I call you a bar owner? Because I know you're,
you can call me Brad.
I call you Brad. If I was to further label you, because I know you're involved with many, many bars in the Houston area. So, what you got there?
Yeah, we're in.
Just tell me all of them. Do it. Just rattle them all off. Tell me about them.
Oh, we're in a Big Star Bar.
Big Star
Grand
Bar.
Prize
which is
bar.
Kind of how we met with Big Star Bar.
Yes.
But we can go into that story later. So, Big Star Bar and?
Big Star Bar, Grand Prize Bar, Sassafras Bar. Layla, which is our tiki, Sassafras.
No, the one before that.
Oh, Grand Prize.
Grand Prize.
Just to name your favorite child.
Yes.
But anyway, because that was the. I don't like to use the word melding, but anyway, it was the. My business partner there, Ryan. So he was doing a cocktail program. And I had like the place where everyone would go afterwards. The industry bar, all the chefs would go to Lone Star and Shots of Jaeger. Uh-huh. And Ryan said, we gotta get these things. Yeah. And so we did Grand Prize Bar, which was the idea was conceived at Tales of the Cocktail in 2010 or something. 2010, I think. And 365 days later, we opened the bar.
It?
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Big Star Bar, Grand Prize, Sassafras Bar, Laylo, which I've been to, and I think when I went there, I didn't realize it was yours, but since I'm a tiki nerd, I had to go to Laylo.
It's terrific.
How fun is that bar?
It's wonderful. I wish I could take credit. Russell and Elizabeth are the designers.
So, that's four.
Oh, okay. Moving Sidewalk. Mixed drinks.
Moving Sidewalk. Oh, I love Moving Sidewalk.
Oh, cool.
That place is wonderful.
Oh, you've been there? Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
I went there before the wedding.
Oh, right.
Loved it. Johnny's, isn't that
Johnny's
you?
Johnny's Goldbrick. No, I was just trying
to... We're up to six now, and you're trying to remember. What else do you like?
Captain Foxhearts.
Wait, what? Captain
Foxhearts.
Oh, Foxhearts.
Bad News Bar and Spirit Lodge.
Oh, and this is the beginning of the epic name.
Yeah, so I had to clear my throat in between.
Wait, say that one again.
Captain Foxhearts, Bad News Bar, and Spirit Lodge.
Okay.
People just call it Bad News Bar.
Okay.
And then we have a charity, the Okra Charity Saloon, where 100% of the money goes to charity.
I've just heard about a place in New York that opened that, but you've been doing this for a while.
I wish it was my idea.
Okra or something like that.
Okra. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I speak quickly.
I do remember I wanted to go there, and so to
it's an amazing
your
building.
Chain of, so, you so think? Okra is, the whole idea behind it is every penny that's made there goes
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
there's, yeah, there's, yeah, there's, the owners make nothing. You know, obviously we pay our managers. I mean, it looks like a bar. I mean, people hook up there, people get in fights there. I mean, it's a bar. But 100% of the money, the managers have a salary and all this.
Yeah.
But 100% of the profits, we give away.
Do you change the charities?
Yes. There's like between $15,000 and $20,000 a month.
Goes to a charity.
Yeah. So if you
that's
want,
wonderful.
You sign
I
up.
I need it. It's so necessary now.
I wish that it was my idea. It wasn't. It was my friend Bobby Hugel's.
It was
Bobby's idea. But luckily he asked me to be part of it. I was flattered. So you apply online to get into the pool.
Yeah.
There's four charities every month. Like we choose, and you vote for what charity you want to win. So if you want your charity to win, you got to show up and drink a lot.
Yeah. Oh. It's a it's a voting by drinking?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, every drink you order, you get a ticket.
Oh, it's like that.
Yeah,
oh,
every wow. single, yeah. So yeah, it's insane. It's so wow. amazing. We're about to, yeah. yeah, it's a fundraiser and a fundraiser.
Yeah. I worked at a nonprofit radio station, and we used to call it our fundraiser.
All right, right.
Which was the stupidest thing.
I know, it sounded ridiculous when it came out of my mouth.
But it's fun. So
edit.
Can we do one of those in LA? Can you get some team out to LA to do that?
It's we're about to, actually, Ryan, my business partner, is the president of Okra.
Yeah.
So we're
in October
we will have given away $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy,
that's
right?
That's incredible. Okay, so we got charity.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
And then that's like seven.
The newest concept we have is that's my favorite name.
This might be my favorite name too because it's ridiculous. It's what I'm thinking of.
yeah, we do ridiculous. We do overboard. Chris Bostick came up with this. He didn't mean to. I was talking to Bostick about something. I was
he
like,
came up with the name of.
Well, no. Oh. This is just the overboard thing because we were chatting, and I said something like, "Yeah, we're gonna do all this, but we don't necessarily need to do overboard." And he's like, "Oh, dude, I speak overboard." I'm like, "All right, yes. All right, good. Okay, then never mind. Yes, I'm in.
Let's
go do damage." anyway, so Little Danny Speedo's Go Fly a Kite Lounge and Amaro Cubby is the newest concept, and it's
an Amaro / beer.
Well, it's really just a beer. And shot joint, and frozen drinks, like not so on the frozen drinks. But we built some new shelving, and we're like, we're just gonna stuff this with Amaro.
There you go. Okay, let's hit this. I'm just gonna say we took a break because now we have food. So everyone, pardon the crunching and enjoy the conversation. Right. Okay.
All right, and then we can.
I know. Eat that crab. I'm gonna drink my Aperol Spritz. Oh, New Orleans. You always make me happy. So, okay. You were talking about naming Little Danny Speedos.
Mm. Well, it's actually stolen from...
But our friend Chris actually... Did he come up with that?
No. Chris came up with the...
Overboard. Overboard's yet another. Like eight bars that you're part of.
There was a... bar in San Francisco that, and I'm not going to remember the name.
Was it a recent bar or back in the day?
Seven years ago. No, it was some of the guys, I think from, oh my goodness, what's the nerdiest
Urban
cocktail
Branch.
Bar in the world? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. nerdiest in the world.
Pardon me.
They had first edition.
For a brief time they had like a place called someone says Win-Win Lounge and Sazerac Emporium.
Yes.
So we took that idea from that name, and that's why I did Captain Foxhard's Bad News Bar and Spirit Lounge
and then later.
Also it's beautiful new philosophy that I have. I keep saying I because none of these are my ideas.
None of these are my ideas.
Yeah. But we did the Honeymoon Cafe, which was like raising tons of money and taking a year waiting on permits and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm done with that. What I like about bars is like a garage door. Picnic tables.
Are you D&T too?
No,
you're not.
But I love it. Yeah, okay.
So you're thinking
pool like table jukebox, please
pool
give
table,
me that.
Jukebox, garage
so
door,
that's
booze.
So and yeah, quality mm-hmm. stuff, and kick-ass people to serve it.
Yeah, that's your ideal.
So, yeah. So
pretty perfect though.
And also being able to name because a Honeymoon Cafe was like by far the most boring name we've ever used. Because we had to appeal to this downtown crowd, mm-hmm. like honky secretaries and stuff. So So we're so now we can do whatever we want. So we can name things like little Danny Speedos. I forgot the original question. I'm sorry.
No, I don't remember what the original question was either. Okay. It doesn't really matter. Wasn't there an inspiration for little Danny Speedos?
So Yale. You went to Yale last night?
Yale from Spare Room?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was me and Yale and Claire Sprouse. Did you? Anyway, amazing person. One of my best friends. These are four of my favorite people.
We had lunch with Claire the other day.
Oh, yeah, geez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turk and Wolf, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Anyway.
Claire gave Big Star Bar's slogan at one point.
Yes. So the more whiskey in the jukebox.
Yes, yeah. You're pulling slogans.
Well, Claire's in my budget. She's influenced me. Some of my favorite people. I think it was Claire and Yale and Ryan. And we were sitting around in New Orleans just coming up with the stupidest
bar names
we could ever think. You know, it was ultra ridiculous. So one of them was Little Danny Speedo's Go Fly a Kite Lounge, and I was like, I'm from South Carolina. Do not dare me. I will name a bar that.
And so we did.
Yeah.
And now you made it come true.
Now I'm spoiled. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just gonna say we had a conversation, and I was making fun of that name, and threw out another name. And if that actually happened,
yes, and then
No. We're not going to tell these people. Okay. We don't want them to steal it. In case you really use this name, I will be happy to jump around and proclaim that I came up with it because I've never named anything.
Yes, no,
except for a cat. You know?
Only one cat, but
I've named like three cats.
Okay, see, named three cats.
But still, yeah, prolific. I'm so prolific when it comes to felines.
Yeah, yes, that was an amazing conversation.
Too.
Yeah, you.
I know.
Yes.
I can name pussy. That's where you were gonna go, right?
No.
I had a boyfriend.
I will say that I LOL'd. Anyway, tell me the boyfriend story.
The boyfriend story is I had a boyfriend who was in a band, because surprise.
I know.
Right, I had a boyfriend in a band. And when I started dating, the band he was in kind of ended and morphed into a new band. So they were trying to come up with names for the band. And so he had this list of names, and wanted my input. Ooh, I really like this one. Oh, I don't like this one. Oh, and then there's this. So I had some names in there, came down to two. And yet the one I liked was so not the one he chose. The one he chose, I thought was horrible. Like, I flat out thought it was terrible. And that's what he chose. And I was just like, oh, well, see, I still haven't named anything. He did write some songs.
So he chose the Beatles instead of something.
But we're still good friends today, so we've obviously gotten past it. And it all worked out.
That's Neil Young cover.
I know, I was just noticing that, too. So, here we are moving into the music. So none of your bars have... You don't have any music venues in any of those spaces.
Big Star Bar, we do.
Oh, it does.
Bands,
oh, you
occasionally,
do bands
but just, I worked in music venues for so long that I realized I know
what a pain it is,
so or to book, like, it wasn't a pain to work there. I mean, I loved working there.
Did you ever play music?
Doing cocaine with rock stars.
Oh my God, that's always my joke, and I don't know if I've said it during the course of recording the show. My joke is when people find out I'm Colombian, they're like, oh, you must know where all the good coke is. And I'm like, yeah, but just because I work in the music industry. Right?
Exactly.
It's not like I'm tied into cartels or anything like that, but I do know people with habits. You know? You could probably say the same for the bar industry.
Yeah, certainly.
There's that whole city side we just don't talk about, but everybody knows.
So. Yeah, that's a lot of bullets.
Yeah, right.
being in this industry for 30 years.
So you worked in music venues, but you never played music yourself.
Oh, I played music for...
You did play music?
10 years,
Did you really? What did you play?
I played the nothing. I screamed loudly.
Did you sing?
Yeah,
did you sing punk rock bands?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the names of your punk rock bands?
Oh, well, give me that. The thing is...
I was not a great singer,
you know, a decent singer at best. If anyone listens to this, they'll be laughing at me. But yes, I was terrible.
But it's punk rock. All you have to do is scream.
No, we but it wasn't like we were, you know, we were in the punk scene, uh-huh. but no, it was actually a super technical band.
It was, oh, really? Like, yeah, so it was more math rock.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, in the 90s.
And, oh, in the 90s, so especially.
Yeah, so it was more like it was more like Rush with a bad singer, or like, yeah. Yeah, which, or you know, and then what, you know, like Mars Volta kind of, oh, like, okay. It's like, yeah. That sort of, yeah,
what, that kind of,
but before, yeah, sort, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, it was almost prog, yeah, 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 exactly, but with, again, with a terrible singer,
Volta,
and not a terrible singer because I'm not terrible. However, but yeah, it was just super fun, and because I used to play drums in high school, and but. Man, you ever tried to carry around a bunch of drums? It's terrible. Oh,
no,
but then we had a...
We have friends who are drummers. And
of course, yeah.
We see their struggles, you know?
We had a... For a while, we had a keyboard player. So we
I forgot we moved the food.
we would lug a...
A
Hammond B3, like a Hammond B3, everywhere, and with Leslie speakers, you know.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Because we wanted to sound like Deep Purple, you know. We're like, whoa.
You wanted everybody to feel as stoked as possible.
Yeah,
no,
we were good. So that was.
That was
a band called the Keenleys. But I wasn't Keenleys. Yeah, it was just whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. I don't know. The guitar player named that band.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, when you were playing those bands, were those like kind of the influences that you had at that time? You guys wanted to be all Pink Floyd and...
No. No, actually, it was great because I lived on a street. It was just a complete punk rock street. We had 7 houses and 2 apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. There was 44 people who lived on the street. And, you know,
and did everybody play in bands?
Yeah. It was like every band had a house. And rebelling against that scene,
exactly,
because they were, you know, because they're all, you know, like Jane's Addiction and the Pixies and all that stuff, and I was listening to Grateful Dead and Neil Young, you know, and Jim Croce, you know, it was like, yes, you know, like, and gangster rap, of course, was just, you know.
Because
hopefully everyone did.
I think everybody listened to Gangster Rap in the 90s.
Yeah, you know.
It was very exciting. All on a block that stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof. To kick the truth to the young black youth. We saw these running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer. And ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglected for now, but yo, it got to be accepted. That what? The life is hectic. Cash moves everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me. Niggas got to get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash ain't just drip around me. Green, get the money. Cash moves everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Super great, man. So, I had a DJ friend at the radio station I used to work at. I wonder how loud my crunching of the bread is going to be on these microphones. I had this DJ friend where at our radio station we had to play 3 distinct genres of music, and the joke was always so distinct that your grandma can tell the difference. You know, because some people would be like, oh, I play techno and I play happy house and I play, you know, ambient this. I'm all, that's all the same thing. It's different beats, but, you know. So this one guy, what I loved about him, he's still one of my favorite people. His 3 genres were country, punk rock, and rap.
Yep.
And the thing is they all went so well together because they're all outlaw music. All of it was like highly political, totally like, you know, just macho, but also like politically correct.
Well, genuine.
Yeah, totally. It was awesome. And so his show made so much sense to me. All the people were like, I'm going to play all that together. And what I love is that it makes more sense than anything. But what I love, and you probably hear this all the time, there's so much country music where you can tell these kids like grew up listening to hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, because you hear those beats and they're like rapping, but they're country.
Well, I had this wonderful conversation with my dad. Mm-hmm. I was like trying to explain to him, it's like, if you want to hear real, like, good old country music, you have to go to a punk rock bar. And he did not get that, but I mean, he gets it now because I had to tell him. It's like, because, mm-hmm. you know, we appreciate,
yeah,
you know,
the
real and the
it.
And the dirty and where it came from, and like, and he's like, really? Like, it's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the chances of getting like really good country music on a jukebox are very high if you go to the dirtiest punk rock bar that you can find. Like, you are going to find great country music on the jukebox, very likely.
So what?
In almost any city that I got to.
When you were growing up then, since you grew up in the Deep South, what were some of your heroes?
Hated country.
Because
that was for country
was for
people. But no, it's the country people. No, my parents listened to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like show tunes.
I was brought up on show tunes as
okay,
well.
Okay, all right.
So we get along.
Some,
we're straight people who love show tunes.
Exactly.
There you go. You know, I still love show tunes. I still am into all that stuff. So, and it's one of those. It's not like a dirty secret. I don't believe in guilty pleasures, because if you love them, then why should you? So people find out that I'm like super Broadway nerd and stuff. And he's like, but you seem so. I also love Star Trek. Keep that in mind. I don't care how cute you think I am or how fun and hipster all this stuff, but I have a Star Trek uniform and I go see Broadway musicals.
Oklahoma, motherfucker.
Yes, totally. Some brothers. Here we go. I'm a West Side Story girl at the end of the
day. Okay.
But I have tickets to Hamilton in a couple months. I'm very looking forward to that.
No. Yeah, no, that sounds amazing.
That's a great example. I mean, here's Hamilton, which is like hip-hop Broadway musical.
I don't know it at all. I just haven't been exposed. Yeah, yeah.
See, we're dorking out. This is perfect. Perfect. So you didn't like country when you were a kid.
No, oh my goodness. No, and actually, I was going to Columbia, South Carolina.
You brought up on Neil Diamond, then you liked melodies.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Musicals.
I went and saw Neil Diamond the other night.
The other night you did?
Yeah. It's my fourth time seeing him. Oh, he's a terrific performer. And people were raising hell in Houston. Yeah, it was, they're coming to America. Man, no, he's...
Well, you just like,
I will admit that there's a little bit of, you know, kitsch factor with Neil Diamond. However, he's a great
performer. He's
yeah.
a great songwriter.
Super great. Yeah.
Really great songwriter.
And he did a... Not a set, but he did two songs in a row that
of songs that other people made.
Yeah, he did Red Red Wine and I'm a Believer. Yeah, like back to back.
Yeah,
and you could feel the vibe. Some people were like, "Wait a minute, what? What?"
Yeah, they didn't know. They were aware. Well, yeah, that's
because it was like Bridge and Tunnel white people that were like in their 60s, but they were raising hell. I got to give it to them. It was a raucous audience. It was great.
Well, what are some of your favorite records then, like to this day?
So in Columbia, South Carolina, there was no rock and roll radio. I'm not exaggerating.
So how did you hear it?
Yeah. Well, I had an older brother, and there was rock and roll radio when he was.
Oh.
Whatever.
It was only
this is a city of, you know, 500,000 people, and there's no rock and roll on the radio. Like, literally, I'm not exaggerating when I say it. There was like probably 6 people in my high school who knew who Led Zeppelin was, and the Who, or the Doors, or like Creedence Clearwater Revival. That's like heavy metal drug guy music. Yeah.
Wow.
It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to Texas, and there was Led Zeppelin on the radio, and I flipped the fuck out. Yeah. It was terrific.
Wow.
Because they would play Led Zeppelin sometimes on the college radio station, you know, on the alternative.
Wow.
So, but I...
I'm real spoiled living in California.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Really, I know, you guys...
I was growing up, we had one radio station that would play...
You said play, like 101X?
91X, yeah.
Oh, 91X, right.
When they first started, like in the early 80s, they would play like X, and then Tom Petty, and then like Duran Duran, and then Led Zeppelin, and then Talking Heads. It all lived in the same place, you know? And then they really supported local bands at that time as well. So, you know, that's how we were hearing like the Beat Farmers and stuff like that. So I thought that was normal. You know, I thought it was normal to hear Missing Persons and A Flock of Seagulls and then hear Def Leppard, you know, and Motley Crue, because that was all on the same station. And it didn't take them too long to kind of phase out the more metal-y things and keep, you know, still kept Tom Petty, but Tom Petty was mellower. We still had Led Zeppelin and AC/DC on there, but they were more classic. So you'd hear that right next to like the B-52s. So I think that kind of helped shape a lot of how I am all over the place too, because it just seemed that's how it should be. And then when it was all segmented out, it's like, fine.
Well, and you know, your personality, you would have sought it out anyway.
And so, I mean,
yes, you might have had it easy.
Yeah,
however, you would have. I mean, you know,
I'm so into music.
I know you well enough.
We went looking for it. Just like you, your brother went looking for it, and you got to hear it. I took my little brother to his first concert, which was Pixies, and he was like 13 or 14 years old, and it was the Doolittle tour. And so I remember taking him to that.
I snuck into the Doolittle tour.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna give you a good first concert experience, you know, because he is a total music nerd and very creative. But I was the big sister; I was 6 years older than him, so he was getting from me what your brother was helping you out at that time.
Yeah, it was great. It was
so I was like a great discovery.
Zeppelin, yeah,
Zeppelin.
Yeah. You know, though they do have some of the dumbest lyrics ever. There's a story.
When I do my Geek Pride Day show every year, I always have to play Ramble On because that song's about the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I know,
when you're talking like Gollum with evil.
Like,
and also, in Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, which is obviously they ripped off from Willie Dixon or someone, I forget who, but one of my favorite. Poetic lines of rock and roll, which is babe, 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 baby, I'm gonna leave you. Yeah, it's like,
but it's the
genius.
Calling me the way it used to do.
There's like on we were talking before we started this about Frank Sinatra and Dee Martin, just debating the two. But Frank Sinatra,
there's no comfort.
Right. As the Dee Martin fan. But I love Dee Martin too. But there's a song, it's I Wish I Was in Love Again, that Frank Sinatra song. But there's a line in it where he says something like the loving clap or the loving bark of mating seals or something.
Don't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you've got to go back and look up the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, basically the song.
First thing I hear.
The song is him kind of like,
down this
kind of dissing being in a relationship and comparing it to all these like kind of awful things. But then the chorus is, I wish I was in love again. And there's a line where he says something about the bark of clapping seals or something, or meeting seals. And I remember the first time, I'm like, did he just say something about seals? And I had to, like, and a friend of mine is a total Frank Sinatra person. He goes, oh, yes, this is exactly what he says. What?
You can
look that up.
Do you know Scott Walker?
Scott Walker,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
I thought I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. Okay. I was done with that.
Okay.
You just look up the seals thing and you will know.
No.
Now let's talk about Scott Walker, who's a fascinating person.
Yeah, but he has some odd lines
that.
It's like, oh, there's all in purple underwear. And like,
it's like Lee Hazelwood.
What did you just say? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There are these guys that like have these voices that are very present, like these Neil Diamond kind of voices. But then the music they do is like Scott Walker especially. So the music is so
That's so amazing that you know him. Like, because that music's fucked up because I don't know. Who listens to Scott Walker? Because
I know people who listen to
really?
Scott Walker. Yeah.
Like without.
I know.
Irony.
Yes. Because he's one of those. It's almost like he's difficult listening.
Oh yeah. No. It's tricky.
It's not like it's noise difficult listening. It's sort of like what is he? It's like performance art at this point.
Yeah. I know. Well, we used to listen to him when I worked in an ice cream store. Yes, I did. and when we listened because it was. The most ridiculous thing, and we're like, oh my goodness, and we couldn't play the Ghetto Boys because so we would like try to find
Scott
Walker. So no, it was Scott Walker. Yeah, it was insanity, and then And then there would be like people who recognized it. Who were like,
right?
Like guys in like pleated khakis and stuff. And like, and then I was like, how does this guy
know
who's is in the Skywalker? Because he's not into it for the same reasons that we are. That's for
totally,
certain.
Totally. Like, well, okay, so I'm going to cut the Scott Walker thing and jump to when we first met, which is at our friend's wedding. And tell this story that we've told like three people this weekend, I think, because it's kind of a good one. We met at our friend's wedding, and you and I were talking, and it was between the wedding and the reception. Maybe it was that pre-drinks before we're going to Johnny's. And you were like, you need to go to my bar. We're going to my bar. And we jumped in a car and went to Big Star Bar.
I'm
going to
amend that, but go ahead.
And when I got there, the first thing I said was, I have a shirt from here. Because a friend of mine from Houston, years before, had brought me a shirt from there and said, oh, this is a cool bar. You'd probably like it. I got you a shirt. And I think you like this band, Big Star. And I was like, I love this band, Big Star. And there's really a... And I think I asked you, is this really named after the band? And you're like, yes.
Oh, yes.
It absolutely is. So you're going to amend.
Only because I so rarely or never say, like, oh, you got to go to my bar. Oh. I think what the deal was, it the street, and Frain was like, hey, I want to see one of your... So anyway, I'm just letting you know. Like, it wasn't like, hey, you got to go to a... Right, yeah, you know. So,
I liked the idea that we talked for a minute, and then you were like, you need to see my bar. This is how I took it.
Okay, fair enough.
And you met me and thought... You need to see
it's a compliment to you. Yeah, I will love you forever. Don't worry. I mean, like, I'm so impressed that we can even chat.
So that is how I looked at it.
Okay.
So, but there were other people involved. There was a group that went to the bar.
Yeah, my point is that I'm not trying that I rarely say I don't you know wear my exactly.
You're
I don't wear my T-shirt.
I don't. We were famous.
The band guys who wear their own T-shirts. Yeah, like, and yeah. I get it. Laundry. I know.
But that's why I wear your bar T-shirt.
Okay, right. Yeah.
See, here we go. I'm advertising for you. And I was doing it before I even knew you. So there we go. So Big Star is big. So is Big Star, since of all your bars, that's the only one that's named after a band, kind of, right?
Well, Moving Sidewalk is named after, that's Billy Gibbons' first band.
That's right.
From ZZ Top.
I was going to say.
So, that one is...
So Big Star is a favorite of yours, and that means ZZ Top is a favorite of yours, too.
Love ZZ Top. Fantastic. Good. Yeah. The home team is what they call it. In Houston,
really?
They call it the home team. No, when they play ZZ Top on the radio, they're like, all right, and now I'm from the home team. And,
Do they really?
Because they're very Houston proud folks.
Awesome.
Yeah, you see, Billy Gibbons at Whole Foods.
Yeah, well, I have some story about Billy Gibbons that I told you. I'll tell you later, not for this.
Nice.
it's not my story, it's someone else's story. That's why it doesn't belong here. But Big Star, what's one of your favorite Big Star songs? It's tough. This is another thing
for the
child.
But you know, I'm cheesy on the 13. But, Dollar Little Goodo. I like, the hits.
The hits, I know. Well, they've got
Yeah. I don't have some like impressive deep cut that I'm gonna lay on what I really like is the Japanese 7-inch that came out. You know, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's not me either. But it changes too over the years, because I think what pulled me in was also like Ballad of El Gudo in 13, right? The romantic, sweet, like Pineway songs. But I think. Two of my favorite songs by them now are When My Baby's Beside Me.
Yeah, terrific.
It's just so happy. And Watch the Sunrise.
I don't know that song.
You do know
that's
that song.
How terrible
you do
I am.
Know that song.
Oh, really? Okay.
You'll go home and listen to it. Oh, this song.
Okay.
Because it's in the same camp as El Gudo and all that.
Oh.
It's just much more jangly. Has a little more full band as opposed to just Alex Chilton doing his thing. And it's just like... It's super romantic and really uplifting. You're going to listen to it because you are super romantic and really uplifting, so you're going to go
listen. You're darn right.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a compliment, and I'll go and listen to the damn song.
Go listen to the song. So, we need to change.
So
you have to tell me a song to listen to because you have all this country, old school country background, which I don't have. I mean, my mom was into outlaw country, but she was also Colombian, so there are big holes. Big holes in that catalog.
Well, but did I tell you... I know. Do you have to go?
I know. Check that. Oh, I do have to go soon. So tell me a story.
Oh, no. Did I tell you the Big Star cease and desist story?
No.
Oh, my God. So,
No.
In a wonderful way. We have our own logo, but we used the Big Star cover, the neon thing, who they stole from the grocery store. and we used it for a t-shirt. And so I get a Facebook message, like, from Big Star, and they're like, hey, I'm so sorry. They're like, man, I love that you've, you know, the homage, and like, but yeah, we have a deal with a t-shirt company, so you can't use it. And I was like, yeah, no problem. They're like, if you're ever in Memphis, come out of the studio. So I messaged him back, and I asked some question. I was like, man, no problem. You know, and I asked him some question, and he never got back to me. And I'm in Memphis having lunch, and I just check my Facebook on my phone because I'm solo. And it's you know, he texts back, like, man, I'm sorry, I never checked my Facebook. I'm so apologize if you're ever in Memphis. And I was like, I'm in Memphis right now. He's like, come on. So anyway, so I got to tour the studio and I have a photo behind the drum set. Sticking the drumstick up my nose. Oh my God! Yeah, it's amazing. That's my Big Star cease and desist story.
The
only surviving member. They may be the nicest people. Oh, anyway, regardless, cool. I'm sorry.
We probably should wrap it up.
Damn it.
We'll just do another one another time. We'll do more, please. All right, well, thanks, Brad. Thanks for talking about music with me. And thanks for talking about your bars with me and everything. And
I don't know, I feel like it was all about me.
It's supposed to be, dude.
Oh, really?
It's supposed to be you. Is there anything that you want the people to know?
Only knowing Mo for, see, you're gonna edit this, you little bitch.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
We all love this person. Like Mo's been like great. Yeah, outstanding. I will know her forever. We will be friends forever because we've only known each other for a short time, but it's been extraordinary and in different cities.
Yes.
How badass you are. And badass and other, you know.
And I'm going to say, go to his bars. I'll start with, obviously we talked about Big Star. I'll start with Okra. Go to Okra and give to charity.
There you go.
Drink for charity.
This is one quote on Yelp. It's like, yes, I go to Okra. I don't have a drinking problem. I have a philanthropy problem. Philanthropy. I can say that word. Philanthropy.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'll get it.
No. Okay.
I know you have to haul ass. I know. I'm so sorry. God damn it. Well, I'll see you in the park.
I'll see you in the park. Unless I got a message. We'll see you later. Thank you. Music and booze. Let's go. Break them.
Super special shout out to Mr. Brad Moore because he's a fantastic person. And if you're in Houston, you should definitely visit one of his many establishments. The chances are good that if you're in Houston, you probably will. And go visit our Facebook page, Mo Herms, over on Facebook. And there will be a link to his Spotify playlist, what Brad likes to listen to while he's drinking. And also a link in the profile for this podcast as well. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you in part by The Blind Rabbit, a speakeasy located in the Anaheim Packing District. The Blind Rabbit has twice been given Best Mixology Awards by the OC Register, as well as several nominations for their innovative cocktail program. For more info and to make reservations, go to theblindrabbit.com. Thanks again for joining us for our Barside Chats here at Music and Booze with Mo. I am Mo Herms. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find links to the profiles and all the Spotify playlists there as well. So thanks again. Lower your expectations. Join us for a drink at the bar, and we'll see you with another episode in a couple of weeks.